speed really quick like, and sometimes I can review my entire time, and I don't apologize for that. We didn't learn our ABCs the first time we heard them, and repetition is the mother of learning, and we plant things, and then we water it, and then we plant some more, and we water some more, and water what we planted last time, and this is how things get planted in us, and the roots of God's Word, the seed of God's Word begins to put roots down deep within us, and then producing fruit on the outside of us. I'm not going to necessarily turn to all these scriptures. I'll put some of them on the screen, but I do want to run through some verses rather quickly just to provide a foundation for where we're headed today. And let's begin in Philemon chapter 6, where the Bible instructs us to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. So when you and I were born again, we see, of course, that God came to live in us. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. But we also see things like the Bible says that God has given to us His kingdom, and that His kingdom is in us. And again, we could preach and have preached, and we'll in the future preach more on it, series of sermons about all that's in us. But remember, he says acknowledge it, but we can't acknowledge what we have no knowledge of, and we find knowledge of all that is in us in the Word of God. Now, Jesus also taught us in the Gospels, and John specifically emphasized this by the Holy Spirit, and I'll stick this one up on the screen right quick. John chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him, a fountain of water springing up." So fountains of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus echoed this in John chapter 7. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The King James Version emphasizes other verses that are similar to this, and it says, from our innermost being. And so the Bible teaches that you have an outward person, an outward man, an outward woman, and an inward person, an inward man, an inward woman. And we know that the outward person is our body, is our flesh. The inward person is our soul and our spirit. And so if your inward man is your soul and your spirit, your innermost being is your spirit. And of course, God created us to live from our innermost being outward. He created us to live from our innermost being outward. Mankind lived separated from God for so many generations that we became well adapted at surviving by living not from our innermost being outward, but by living from the outward things inward, from living life from outside to the inside. But that is not how we were designed by God to live. We were designed by God to live from the inside to the outside. Now, we get born again, and our spirits become one with God again, and that union is reestablished, and that flow from God is reestablished. But we still have to go through this process of discipleship where our minds are being renewed, and we learn how to think like people who are free. We learn how to think like men and women who are righteous. We learn how to think like men and women who are blessed. We learn to think like men and women who have far more than we can count or show on a bank statement. Amen? Because God said He has made you rich. God said He has made you strong. God said He has, by His stripes you were healed. He says that you have already been healed. Amen. So healing is in your innermost being. Righteousness is in your innermost being. Wealth is in your innermost being. You know, somebody said something about, that pastor down there at Heritage is a prosperity, preacher. And I just can't deal with that. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think his preacher preaches poverty. I hope he doesn't anyway. I heard Jeremy Pearson, this is Brother Copeland's grandson. He said that he was an anti-poverty preacher. Amen. I'm an anti-poverty preacher. Amen. Well, why do we preach and teach prosperity around here? Because the Word of God teaches it. Amen. If it ain't in the Bible, we ain't got time for it. Amen. So it is God's desire for you to prosper and be in health. And if you've been born again, everything that you need to prosper and be in health is in your innermost being right now. Now, when we're ignorant of this, when we don't understand this, when we have no knowledge of this, or we have knowledge but haven't acknowledged it personally yet, we tend to beg God to do for us what He's already done for us. We tend to beg God to give to us what He's already given to us. We ask Him to fix things in our life that He's already fixed, and broken things that He's already made whole again. And so notice, I don't want to go too far down this road, but of late there's been a lot of talk in the body of Christ, and I don't know, I think it's, you know, both ways, but listen to the contemporary Christian music. You know, is the music influencing the preaching, or is the preaching influencing the music? And again, I don't have an answer for that. It's both, I guess. But all this talk about how broken we are, and it's become so popular to say that we're beautifully broken. Well, you know, my wife, my mom, they like glass, like figurines and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And there's not a one of them that's broken that's beautiful. Y'all getting quiet on me up in here. See, this is the devil trying to get us to spiritualize our own dysfunction. Amen. Nobody likes to be broken. So quit trying to dress it up. Amen. And make excuses and let the devil lie to you. If you've been born again, you are no longer a broken person. You have been made whole by the blood of Jesus. And if you continue to live like a broken person, it's because you still think like a broken person instead of someone that Jesus has made every bit whole. Amen. Now I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but this is where the devil keeps us wallowing in things that we got no business wallowing in. And notice again, we have no knowledge of it. And so we hear a song about it on the radio and we think, well, okay, that's cool. And it sounds good, but that's me. You know, I'll tell somebody about that and get a little pity from them or whatever. No, so again, we're every bit whole. Amen. And so it's the mindset. It's the attitude. It's the renewing of the mind. And so, this verse, I will put it on the screen. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That you may prosper. Personalize it now. He's not talking about, you know, sometimes we believe that God loves everybody, but don't believe that He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, He also loves you individually, specifically, okay? So notice now, it's not just that God desires, but I wish above all things. So this is high on God's priority list for His children. Keep in mind, this was written to people who have been born again. Now, God's desire, He wishes above all things for those who don't know Him, that they would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But after a man or woman has been born again, are you following me? Let me see if I can say it this way. Before you had children, you desired children. Now that you got children, you desire for those children to be in health and prosper. Amen. And so, this is Father's heart for you, as His child, that you may prosper and be in health. And that last phrase is so critically important. Even as your soul prospers. So we've got to have a healthy and prosperous soul to go along with our ultra healthy and prosperous spirit. Your innermost being is as healthy and as prosperous as the creator of the universe. Amen. Are you following me? I mean, Jesus didn't wake up with a sore throat this morning. Jesus didn't wake up worried about how He's going to pay the light bill in heaven this morning. Are you hearing me? Okay. Healthy and prospering in heaven, and you've become a partaker of His nature. You have become one with Him. You've been given everything by God the Father that has been given to Jesus. Again, all these are sermons or sermon series, okay? I'm telling you what the Bible says, not my opinion, all right? So God's desire is above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Now, I invite you to discipleship class because what I'm going to try to do in 2 minutes, we do in 3 or 4 hours in discipleship class. But this drawing represents you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Some of you have seen this before. Your spirit is the real you. Your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. And your body is your flesh, also known as your five senses, also known as your outward man. Y'all still with me? Now, if you notice God up in the corner and then that word written in the arrow that says Zoe, that word Zoe means the life and nature of God. And those arrows denote two things. They denote direction and they denote connection. Direction and connection, okay? So notice, when we're born again, our spirit becomes connected. First of all, God buries our old spirit and puts a new one in us. And then that new spirit and God's spirit become one spirit. So that means the same life and nature that's in God is now in you. The same life and nature that's in God is now in you. Amen. God doesn't wait till you die to give you eternal life. You have it right now. And eternal life, because life flows through a union, eternal life requires an eternal union to support it. You cannot have eternal life without an eternal union. Amen. So we have an eternal union with God. That enables God to give us eternal life. Amen. Now, for a lot of folks, the connection stops at their spirit. And notice, the life and nature of God that is already in you as a born-again believer in your innermost being, in order for it to make it all the way through into your life and outward reality, it's got to pass through your soul. Are you seeing this? It's got to pass through your soul. And for a lot of people, they have a mental block. Are you following me? You ever heard that expression? A mental block. I just have a mental block. Somebody's trying to explain something to you, and you're trying and trying and trying to figure it out and understand it. And for some reason, you just can't quite wrap your mind around it. Well, think about a mental block on a much larger scale. Some of you have already experienced your mind pushing back against things that I've said. For a moment ago, I said, you're already wealthy. And some, in your mind, you're like, I ain't wealthy. I ain't got nothing. I'm dead, blah, blah, blah. So again, notice your mind's pushing back. The fountain, the river is flowing from God into you, and your soul is saying, not me. That may apply to somebody. He may be talking to somebody, but he ain't talking about me. I'm not free. I've been saved. I've been saved a long time, but I'm still bound. I'm still addicted. I'm still this. I'm still that. See, notice all that is thinking. All that's your mind. It's not your innermost being. It's your inward man. It's your soul. Are you following me? And this part of us has to be renewed. Your spirit was born again. Your soul was not. Your spirit has been saved. Your soul is being saved, the Bible says, and your body one day shall be. Past tense, present tense, future tense. Amen. Are you seeing this? Some of you seen this 50 times and all of a sudden it's starting to pow, pow. It's like the Bible says that the word of God is like the hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. And so we just keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and then breakthrough. Breakthrough. Amen. That one of those first songs they sing, a breakthrough today. A breakthrough today. Some of you in here, you need a breakthrough, not next week, not next year, today. Amen? Okay. All right. So now let me change this. So it's the same. Pneuma, suche, soma, those are the Greek words for spirit, soul, body. Underneath now, if you notice, we just changed the words. Your spirit is your nature and your being. Your soul is your understanding, your perception, how you see things, how you process things. And then your body is where you speak and do things. Okay? Are you following me? So we're a being who does things. Being determines your potential for doing. Your doing does not determine your being. What you do does not determine who you are. Amen. The devil, now what your doing can do is determine what you think about who you are. Are you hearing me? What you do can make you think you're something that you're not if you're a born-again believer. Things you practice, sin that you practice. Once an addict, always an addict. Lie from the pits of hell. Lie, well, you don't know what I'm dealing with, Pastor Mark. Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but I'm talking about the Word of God now. Right? Come and I'll give, learn and you'll find. That's what Jesus said. Come and I'll give, come and I'll make you learn and you will discover and you'll experience. Amen? All right. So again, just trying to give you some different ways of looking at and understanding spirit, soul, and body. Now, here is another drawing, right? So my software is limited, but you get the picture, all right? So your spirit is that fountain, right? Spirit is that fountain. Your soul is like a valve. Are you following me? That can either be open and then the water will flow through it, or the valve can be closed and the water will not flow. And then the body, I did grapes for fruitfulness. I searched for, you know, again, this program's called Doodly, amen. And it just didn't have a lot, amen. It's more about the idea. I did come up with another one. I don't want to offend you with this one, but amen. Let's just go ahead and put it on up there anyway. Amen. That makes a little more sense. Amen. Money, I'm not talking about, listen, money's not the root of all evil, love of it. But what we're talking about with fruitfulness and resources, they're in you already. I said they're in you already. I mean, we could replace the money bag or the set of grapes with health, strength, wisdom. Are you following me? Healing. And we can just go on and on and on. Because these things are already in you. They're already in you. They're in you so much that Jesus said those who believe would lay their hands on the sick and the sick would recover. Amen. Just like hooking jumper cables up or a jump box to a dead battery. Amen. Are you seeing this? All right. Now, when we talk about this valve of your soul, what Jesus is trying to teach us in the Word and what the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us, you've got the Holy Word of God, who, by the way, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And then you have the Holy Spirit. And these two, the Bible says, are our helpers. They're our advocates. And they're our helpers. And what the Holy Word of God is, in the Holy Spirit, they're cooperating together and they're wanting you and me to cooperate with them. The Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. We could say it this way. I like to simplify things. The inward witness is the Holy Spirit. And then we've got the Holy Word of God. So you've got the inward witness and the Word of God. The Word of God and the inward witness. Amen. And so, because there are things that you, like, you know, where should I go to college? You won't find in the book of Isaiah, go to Auburn University or go to Troy University, right? But if the Lord has it in his plan for your life for you to go to college, then it's going to be a specific place. Well, the Holy Spirit knows that. He searches the mind of God. And so he'll give you that inward witness. Are you following me? All right. And then we know that the Word and the witness, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit witness in us, they always agree. So if you think your inward witness is telling you to do something that violates the Word of God, there's some confusion somewhere and you need some multitude of counsel to help you resolve that. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Now, but the soul is like a valve, and what the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God, what they're trying to do is teach us how to live our lives with an open valve. They're trying to lead us into a lifestyle that will keep the valve of our soul open so that the rivers and the fountains and all these good things that are in us will flow from God into us, through us, and out of us into the world around us. Now, the last few Sundays, we've talked about this as it relates to the blessing. And we see that God blessed Adam, and that means he empowered him. He empowered Adam to prosper. He empowered him to succeed in life. The blessing is not just something we say before a meal or after somebody sneezes, but the blessing is a supernatural empowerment for God. It was upon Adam. Adam sinned and lost it. God restored it to Abraham. Abraham passed it down. There's other points to all this, but Abraham passed it down to generations. And then we come to all the generations of Abraham. They wound up in slavery in Egypt, right? You familiar with this story? And then God raised up a deliverer, Moses, and with God's own mighty hand, he brought the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And all this, the Bible says, was recorded to serve as an example for you and me to learn from. Now, if you're not familiar with this, let me go ahead and tell you that these people did not come out of slavery in Egypt after 430 years. They did not come out of slavery in Egypt broke and beat down. They didn't come out of there hobbled. Are you following me? The Bible says that all of them, no sick, no lame among them. I mean, we're talking about people that worked in the blazing sun in Egypt, some of the hardest labor. And then when Moses began to work as God's representative to set them free, we see that and learn from this, is because again, all these are recorded from our example. When movement started happening to get them in freedom, Pharaoh responded by increasing their burdens, by putting even more pressure on them. And that's what the devil tries to do. When you start making a move towards God, the devil tries to apply more pressure to you to keep you in your place, right? In the place he's not God's place for you, but in the place that he thinks you should be in life. Amen or amen? You still with me? So notice now, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So when they came out of slavery in Egypt, they came out as healthy as horses, whatever that means. We said, man, he's healthy as a horse. I mean, they came out as healthy as a healthy horse, because I could be a sick horse, right? As healthy as humanly possible, I believe. Amen. And they also came out extremely wealthy, because we see that God delivered the wealth of Egypt over into their hands. Like literally when they were leaving, people were cleaning out their bank accounts. Women were going to their jewelry safe and giving them all their gold and all the silver that they had collected. Again, this is the power of the blessing. The blessing on a man or woman attracts wealth. It attracts wealth, okay? But see, that was the Old Testament, and it still will in your life, but now it's something inside of you that comes forth out of you. Are you still with me? So do you see, I'm trying to help you make this connection real quick, but do you see that God's desires for his people is to be in health and prosper, to be in health and prosper? And that's the power of God's blessing upon a man or a woman's life. So then we know what they do. They took the gold earrings and made a calf. And worship the calf. Well, that didn't come out of nowhere. Despite what Aaron had to say, Aaron said, you know, we put the gold in the fire and the calf popped out. Literally, if you read the scripture, that's what it says. Okay. But that calf didn't come out of the fire. It came out of them, because they had spent 400 years in Egypt with people who worshiped calf, worshiped these false gods. And so when they didn't know what happened to Moses, their leader, their carnal minds, their unrenewed minds took over, and they decided to go with the gods that they had experienced in Egypt rather than the true and living God. Are you seeing this? So I like to say it this way. The calf came out of them. It didn't come out of the fire, because it was in them. It was in them. Now, I got to get this said one more time. God brought them out of Egypt healthy and wealthy. Amen. Says the word of God. Amen. All right. This was his plan and purpose for them. And again, he recorded it because he wants you and me to understand that it's his plan and purpose for you and me. He didn't bring us out of Egypt. He brought us out of sin and death. We were slaves to sin. And sin separates us from God. And sin is, separation equals death. Are you following me? So he delivered us out of sin and death. Amen. But he brought us out just like he brought them out, healthy and wealthy. Amen. Their health and wealth was manifested instantly. Ours, internally, and again, comes through the soul. Donald and I have been carrying on a conversation about this, and it's beautiful. But see, in the Old Testament, we talked about this. My sermons and classes run together on me. But in the Old Testament, God, the only way God had to deal with a man was from the outside to the inside. And so you have to understand that when you look at the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. One that I love to go to is this. In the Old Testament, if you touched a leper, the disease of that leprosy on the outside of you would make you unclean on the inside of you. You follow me? In the New Testament, you touch the leper, and the leper's made clean. In the Old Testament, you touch the leper, you're made unclean. In the New Testament, you touch the leper's made clean. Are you, okay. So it's a vast difference. We have to recognize these differences, rightly divide the word of God, as we're instructed to do in Paul's letter to Timothy. We got to rightly divide the word of God and recognize and understand the difference between the Old Testament approach that God had versus the New Testament approach that he now has with you and me. And so everything from them was God relating to them was from the outside to the inside. For you and me now, it's from the inside to the outside. Yes, 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 yes. So much for a quick review. Are you still with me? Praise God. Are you getting anything out of this? Praise God. And I don't fear, but I do. Okay, we're still good. 11:34. All right. Amen. Now, I've got you to a point in the story where Moses goes up on the mountain, and of course the people, Bible says, they rose up to play. Amen. And, amen. It's all fun and games until somebody starts worshiping a golden calf, right? Then it's trouble. All right. But what did God give Moses up on the mountain? Do you remember the Ten Commandments? Okay. Now, we can look at that as God just trying to micromanage their lives and boss them around and control them. But if you know God, and what he's like and who he's like by studying the life of Jesus, you see that that's not who he is. So why would he give those commandments? Again, the commandments were something on the outside of them that they were trying to aspire to obey. But it wasn't just, God never wants obedience just for obedience's sake. And I know some people may disagree with me on this, but God, again, every word that God has ever spoken to you, for you, and about you has been your best interest in mind. So when God tells them not to worship other gods, when God tells them not to lie, when God tells them not to murder, when God tells them not to commit sexual sin, what if we were to look at it this way? He's trying to prevent them from doing things that will stop the flow of his blessing in their lives. It's just that simple. God wants them blessed. He wants them to prosper and be in health. And he knows if they're lying and committing fornication and doing all these other things, that it's going to hinder, if not stop altogether, his blessing from flowing and producing results in their lives. Are you seeing this? Please tell me you're seeing this. And if you fast forward, remember one group got on one mountain, one group got on the other. Blessed is every man who obeys the commandments and what they say, and then cursed is everyone who disobeys them. So what God is trying to provide for them to the best of his ability, in other words, when I say to the best of his ability, it's like God can do anything. I understand that, but when I say to the best of his ability, given the condition of these people were in, they were natural men. They were not born again men and women. They had a covenant with God because of their father Abraham, and that covenant spelled out blessing upon them. But of course, Satan wanted them to violate the blessing, right? Violate God's heart and do things that would cause the blessing to not produce results in their lives. And it's the same for you and me today. It's the same for you and me today. But now, I jump way ahead in my notes, but let me just, while we're here, and then I'll come back and we'll fill in some blanks. Y'all still with me? So for you and me, it's not obey 613 commandments and you'll be blessed. No, because blessing for you and me has now become a state of being. Blessing for you and me is now an inward reality. Are you following me? You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Galatians 5 teaches us that we have been blessed with the blessing of Abraham. So we are in this unique position where we've been blessed to in both spiritual things and natural things. And as I told you last week, you can go help someone financially with a financial need, buy them some groceries, pay a bill or something like that for them, and then lay hands on them and impart healing to them. That's how blessed you are right now. This is really unique position, okay? Now, the devil does not want the valve of your soul open and all the blessing that's in you flowing through you out of you. This, by the way, Jesus personified life with an open valve, an open soul valve. Jesus personified it. Are you with me? It's just kingdom power, kingdom authority, kingdom resources, kingdom rule, the power of God flowing from God through the union that Jesus had with him. Jesus didn't have none of these hiccups in his soul. You want me to do what? You want me to tell all them people to get out of this house when that girl's laying there in the graveyard dead? You want me to go in there and tell them to shut up and leave? Watch this. Jesus didn't have the what if it doesn't work hiccup. Wow. Are you with me? Jesus didn't have that. When Jesus, standing at the grave of Lazarus, are you with me? I will, you know it's got to be recorded in heaven. Father, me and you've already talked about this, so I'm not going to pray very long here. But I'm doing this so that all will know, right? And then he just says, Lazarus, come forth, right? And here, I don't even think he did like his voice like I just did. You know what I mean? I think he called him like, just like if he was, just like when he was at Lazarus' house so many times, if Lazarus was in another room, Lazarus, come in here. You got to see this, man. I think it was that same tone of voice. Lazarus, come here, man. Give me a hook. Are you following me? He didn't have the what if it doesn't work. So where does the what if it doesn't work? Where would you think, spirit, soul, or body, where do you think that would hang out? Your soul, your mind, your thinking. You shut that valve off in an instant. What if it doesn't work is like, you know, like when you, anybody ever like replaced a toilet or a faucet or something like that, you know, and you got that old shut off valve. Give me an amen back here, Brother Jerry. He's helped me replace some of those shut-off valves. We just did it recently over here. You turn it, no matter how hard you turn it, it still drips. It's like the harder you turn it. It's like almost drips faster when you turn it harder. It's got something to do with the innards of it or whatever. Okay, so, I mean, it's like that kind of, what if it don't work? It won't just shut that valve. It'll like make it creak so tightly shut. Are you seeing this? Okay, now, thank you, Father. So, I'm gonna skip over reviewing some of this blessing stuff. We may come back to it later, all right? But here we are, and we got a few minutes left. God's ways are counterintuitive to man's ways. Now, that big word, counterintuitive, what does it mean? It means contrary to common sense expectation, but true nevertheless. So common sense would tell us that, what's Newton's law of gravity? Common sense would say, you know, if I hold this battery, if I let go of this battery, what's going to happen? It's going to fall, right? That's common sense. If I let go of this battery and it floated up like a helium balloon, that would be counterintuitive. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, it would go against common sense expectation. You with me? Yes? Okay. So common sense has its place in natural things, but cannot be relied upon when it comes to supernatural things. Okay? Common sense can only get you so far in life. Common sense and leaning on your own understanding go hand in hand. And remember, he told us in Proverbs 3 not to lean on our own understanding. Now, here's a big one. Common sense is the enemy of faith. Common sense is the enemy of faith. Man's best thinking will never produce a miracle. Man's best thinking will never produce a miracle. Now, he tells us in Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay. Now he goes on to explain, again, it's a whole sermon at least in what follows, but he compares his wisdom, his word coming down to us from heaven like precipitation. And this is where the Bible says, the word of God will not return void. You ever heard that? You ever heard your grandmama say that? Word won't return void. Amen. Well, that's where we find this in Isaiah 55. But remember, the word has to be returned back to God. For a lot of people, the word flows from God to them, but it never penetrates their heart, never gets into their mouths, never gets into their actions or obedience. I feel like I'm losing some of you. You still with me? Y'all still with me? All right. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2 and then carrying over into chapter 3, the Bible talks about a natural man and the things of God being foolishness, the ways of God being foolishness. And let's go back up to Isaiah 55. Okay, I got it. This isn't like professional sermonizing here, but I got to do something because the Holy Spirit keeps saying, you know, it's bumping me. Okay, let's go back to it, all the way back to it, because this is really important. I've got it deeper in my notes, but we'll come to it again, but let's go back to it. God gave them the commandments to try to keep them from doing things that would hinder the flow of his blessing in their lives. Yes? Let me show you how simple it is for you and me. Are you ready? Walk in love no matter what. Walk in love no matter what. Now, when the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I said, well, what about walking in faith? And then immediately, walking in faith is important, but your faith won't work if you're not walking in love. Walk in love. Let me replace no matter what. Walk in love at any cost. Walk in love at any cost. Jesus said, if a man steals your coat, go track him down and knock him over the head and take it back. Is that what Jesus said? He said, if he steals your coat, give him your sweater. What? Counterintuitive. Goes against the grain. Now, what we're going to find out later is that as long as you're walking in love, you're going to have enough coats and enough sweaters for you and your entire neighborhood. The devil knows that. That's why people have hurt you and wronged you and offended you or given you opportunity to be offended. Because the devil knows that if he can get you in bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge, jealousy, all these other things, right? You're going to clog up your soul and prevent the flow of God's blessing, the flow of the fountains and rivers that are in you, through you and out of you. Are you seeing this? So when I say walk, I'm going to show it to you in the scriptures. Because, there are increments and levels and steps and stages to this. But it goes from turning the other cheek to why not let yourself be cheated. I'm quoting Bible now. Why not let yourself be cheated? Boy, you're talking about counterintuitive. Ooh, sweet Jesus. Man, I have to watch myself. If McDonald's don't like fill my little red fry thing all the way up, I'm ready to send it back through the window. I mean, get me a manager. I paid for a large fry, and I want every one of them thinly cut potato product thingies that you fry in that oil in my bucket. You know what I'm saying? If I'd have wanted a small fry, I'd have paid for a small fry, bless God. We get so worked up, right? Because here's the thing. If you'll have this attitude, nobody can cheat you, ever. If somebody takes a coat from you, God will give you a coat factory. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? I'm not sure some of you do. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Walk in love at any cost. Walk in love no matter what. It's so simple in trying to, who can even remember 613 commandments and laws and ordinances? Somebody said, well, what about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You love him by loving other people. Do you understand that? You can't love God who you do not see without loving your brother or sister who you do see. If you walk in love towards other people, you will have no problem walking in love towards God. All right. Now. Man, there's some really good stuff right here I'm looking at, y'all. Can you give me a few more minutes or you got to go? Amen. So in 1 Corinthians, I'll rush it, okay, and then we'll really dig into it. Can we, and this is actually part of the point that I'm trying to make here. Matter of fact, let me get to this. This will set it up. Amen. You ready for this? Can you handle this? You might want to get your cell phone out and take a picture of this one, okay? Most of God's children are being held prisoner by their own common sense and comfort zone. We talk about the devil. The devil ain't holding you. He can't hold you prisoner. He couldn't keep Jesus in the grave, and he can't keep you from blessing and prospering and being in health. Are you following what I'm saying? But your own common sense and your own comfort zone, absolutely, absolutely can. See, some of you, I talk about discipleship class, and it's like, man, I'd like to do that. I've heard him talk about that since before my child was born. And she's 14 now. I'm just, you know, we've been doing it for 20, this will be our 22nd year, right? So it's like, but man, I like my Wednesdays. I got one of my favorite TV shows comes on Wednesday. You know, I mean, it'd be hard. Who would fix supper? Come on now. I'm just trying to show you. I mean, a 2-hour class, that don't make sense. Who could even pay attention for 2 hours? I've had people tell me that. A 2-hour, you really think people pay attention for 2 hours in that class? Again, common sense and comfort zone. Common sense and comfort. That's what's holding you prisoner. You got enough faith to move mountains, but it won't work if you don't walk in love. Are you seeing this? Amen. It does not make common sense to turn the other cheek. It does not make common sense to seek God's kingdom above everything else in your life. It doesn't make common sense to pray for people who spitefully use you. None of this makes common sense, but the one thread that you see through all of it is walk in love at any cost. Why? Because the minute you step out of love, we close that valve. This is why the devil gives you and me so many opportunities, right? To get offended, to sit in the seat of the scornful, to people that hurt us and wrong us, and we don't forgive. And listen, there are people listening to me right now. It doesn't make sense that you should forgive people who've hurt you. I mean, because some people in here have really, really been run through the ringer by folks who were meant by God to take care of you and protect you, and they were the ones that abused you and rejected you. And so common sense says, I'll never forgive. Common sense says, I'll hold on this to the day I die. Common sense says, well, again, that's the devil using that in your life to keep all the joy. Did we mention joy and peace inside of you? God's joy, God's peace. Amen. Stand with me. We could keep going here. We'll come back. Okay. But in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about the difference between milk and solid food. In other places, he says milk to meat. Yes. Are you familiar with this? And again, he's serving an example, physical example, that we should learn from spiritually. And this probably going to require some more explanation next week, but I want to go ahead and plant this one with you as well. Milk to meat represents a progression we must actively participate in. Milk to meat represents a progression we must actively participate in. A mother doesn't like go from nursing her baby or using a bottle to feed her baby one day. You know, like, okay, we're going to nurse for breakfast, but you better get ready for the T-bone steak at lunch. It doesn't happen that way, right? Matter of fact, you know, there's so much more that we know about it now for my grandchildren than Pam and I knew about it with our children, and certain foods that you want to start them on and so forth and so on. But even the first solid food, you have to mash it up, right? And don't anybody ever had the blowback from the peas? You know, it's like, okay, I got green peas all over my glasses now. Okay, amen. But it's a progression that has to be actively participated in. Well, if we're going to go from milk to meat, It's a progression that we will have to actively participate in, which means gradually pushing the envelope where common sense is concerned. Yeah. Gradually pushing the envelope where our comfort zone is concerned. Yes? Push a little more, push a little more, push a little more, push a little more. Along with some prayer and some wisdom from my brother Donald, Dr. Donald Ballard, my left knee was really hurting me. I injured it helping John, Mark, and Gina move from Nashville. I had this spot. It would do fine until I would get it to a certain point. And Donald said, look, Pastor, just stand at the sink, hold on to the sink, and put pressure on that and ease down until you touch the pain. And when you touch it, stay there just a minute and come back. And then go down and down. Well, now I can, you follow what I'm saying? I can. And so it's like that. We get to the edge of our comfort zone. We get to the edge of, you know, common sense. What does common sense do? Common sense starts sounding a risk alarm. It's, you're getting risky now. You're getting too far out there. Come back. Come back. Don't you write that check. Come back. Right? So, see, we got to, when you get there where it's just a little tender, a little sensitive, you got to push it just a little more. A little more. If you're too afraid to tithe 10%, how about 3%? Do 3% for 6 months. Then 5%. It's like, Pastor Mark, who are you to tell somebody to tithe 5%? God says 10%. 5% better than 0%. I don't want to embarrass them. I have literally seen my mom and daddy give people in this church money to give. Prime, you're talking about priming the pump. People that they love, families that they've worked with and mentored and discipled over the years. It's like, okay, I'm giving you this, but I'm giving it to you so you'll give it. Just because they've never given. They don't, you know, it's like, well, because they always thought they didn't have any money to give. They have enough money to give. Well, here's you some money to give. Are you see what I'm saying? So it's, but you got to get to that point and get to that. That's how we grow. Are you with me? All right, I could preach till 3 o'clock today. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for teaching us. Lord, not here to try to impress anybody. I'm here to teach us how to press in. Here to try to teach us how to press in. Like Paul said, to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Father, I do not want us to wait till we get to heaven to find out how blessed we've been all these years on the earth. I don't want us to wait till we get to heaven to find out how wealthy we've been, and yet we never experienced and enjoyed any of that wealth, and nobody around us ever benefited from it because we were too afraid to give because common sense told us that we shouldn't do it. Father, I thank you that you're teaching us how to walk in love, and walking in love activates our faith and energizes our faith like nothing else. It's a lot easier, Father, to operate in faith when we're walking in love than it is to operate in faith when we're not. So, Lord, I thank you that if there's one key takeaway that I want you to just remind us of later today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, walk in love no matter what. Walk in love no matter the cost. Because we're going to have plenty of opportunities. Driving home, there's going to be somebody that cuts us off or acts crazy on the road or whatever. Father, we're going to have all kinds of opportunities before this day's over to walk in love. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to take those opportunities and we're going to reflect you in all that we say and do. Lord, thank you for no condemnation. Father, you're not mad at us. You're not trying to hurt us. You're trying to help us. Because what you desire above all things is that we prosper and be in health, even as the valve of our soul is open and prospering. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, know that you're loved. Know that Jesus is Lord. As we love to say here at Heritage, good things coming. Thank you for being here this morning. A lot of good churches around here you could have attended, and so we're honored that you chose us. You have a blessed rest of your day. I'll see some of you tomorrow, some of you Tuesday, some of you Wednesday. Good things coming once again.